Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning. It has been an amazing weekend for us here in Northwest Arkansas. We had an opportunity to meet with our family from Tyler, Texas and Bullard, Texas. We had an absolutely amazing weekend together. Truly, we did. Tomorrow, Patricia Joy and I will be heading up to South Dakota to meet with the saints of God in that area, and we're very excited about it. And today, I'm very excited as well to introduce to all of you today our dear friend, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, coming all the way from Tennessee. Good morning, Pastor Kevin. How are you today, sir?
Doing fine, man of God. So glad, so privileged, so honored to be here and thankful. This is the day the Lord has made, so we're going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. And we may as well start right now. Pastor Kevin, you and I have just recently connected through a friend of ours, Clarence, and Clarence has been such a blessed man of God, just on Messenger, even though we've never met face-to-face. He's been a part of our ministry, supported it, let people know about it. And he's recently connected you and I together, and I just thought, man, some of the saints of God need to be thoroughly encouraged. And so why don't you introduce yourself and say hello to everybody out there in Radio Land, Blog Talk Radio. And Pastor Kevin, you did hit the link I gave you, right, for Blog Talk Radio?
Let's just make sure.
All right.
We've got it right there. We're allowing everything to take place.
Awesome. Then we're ready to go. So if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, if you're on YouTube or Omega Radio or on Facebook, we're ready to go. I introduce to you Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Kevin, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone out there today. I'm Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, pastor of Faith Worship Center here in La Follette, Tennessee. Been in ministry. God called me in the ministry, I believe, when I was a young age. Evangelist R.W. Shambach, he prayed for me before I was even born in my mother's womb. And had that calling in my life. And in 1992, we started ministry and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting people know God cares for you. God is alive. Jesus is well. And he's still doing today what he did back then. He's still saving. He's still delivering. He's still healing. He's still setting a captive free. Woo! I'm telling you, we got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be happy about. We're seeing God save people, people who think they've been they think they're nothing. They think they're trash. God turns around, picks them up, loves them, and lets them know they are treasure. Hallelujah. We're seeing God heal. I mean, we've had people with born deaf. God is opening up their ears. We had people born blind. God is opening up their eyes. We have people who couldn't get up and walk. They're walking, leaping, and praising God today in this hour, right now. So for over 28 years, we've been in ministry, preaching the gospel, seeing from Genesis to Revelation, giving all the word of God with the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. We're so thankful. I've been married. I've got a wedding anniversary coming up this month. As a matter of fact, on July 17th, me and my precious wife, we've been married 33 years. Praise God. And we have four children. I live here in Jacksonburg, Tennessee. Tennessee's a wonderful place to live. Mountains and sunshine and lakes and fishing and food. God's been good to me. And we let everybody know God is good to you. He loves you. God cares for you. So we've been doing that for a long time. Been in tent ministry. Tent revivals all across America, been out different parts of the world, been over in Africa, holding revival there. And so we've been in ministry for a good while, been in the church. You know, the old saying, I grew up in the church. We did. We grew up under R.W. Shambach and those great big giant tent meetings where white man, black man, red man, yellow man, we all come in together to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's where we're at today. We're still doing what God's called us to do. And we're seeing the great love and compassion of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, touch masses of people. We're happy.
Wow, Pastor Kevin, and what an amazing time to bring that gospel, that good news message, because the days are getting darker. The time of the door to the ark, you know, appears that one day the day of salvation will close up and we're going to enter into some pretty difficult times. And right now around the world, we're seeing those difficult times. And so what a contrast between the spiritual light of Jesus Christ and God and what's going on in the world today. You know, what is your encouragement to the body of Christ today that, you know, we're not ignoring the signs of the times. We're kind of watching everything take place before us and we're actually walking within the midst of it. Where do you see the church right now? What do you see the church moving into, the responsibility, the assignment, the calling of the members of the body of Christ in this time?
Where do I see the church right now? Right now, there is a call. There is a mandate that is being given by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, for the church to wake up and not be silent no more. And the reason I say this is because for a while, it seemed like the church has sat in the background and not said many things. The only hope for America today, the only hope for our world, we used to have the saying, we used to hear it everywhere. As the preacher goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. And we've had a lot of things that's taken place. And right now, people need hope. And they're not getting it from government. They're not getting it from culture. Hope only comes one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And right now, the church, we have the answer. We have the answer for what people need. It's not being in a club. It's not being in a clique. It's getting to the one who really cares for you, getting to the one who's alive and real and has compassion for you, has mercy for you. Hallelujah. And right now, I believe it's a time for the church to wake up, because as we all know what has taken place in the last since February, March, with COVID-19, coronas everywhere, it shut down the world. It shut down state parks. It shut down businesses. And in many places, it shut down church. And right now, it's time for church to come alive with prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It's time to get back into power of prayer. It's time to utilize the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Some say Jesus. Some say Yeshua. There's power in that name. And right now, we need to offer encouragement, offer a hope above all hopes. We have hatred, we have violence, we have unrest, and we have a massive spirit of fear that's around the world. And the only thing that's going to break that is the power of God's love, the power of God's word, and the power of the risen Savior. We have a message to give, and it's time to give it right now.
Amen. Pastor Kevin, you know, if every one of those individuals that went to every one of the mega churches or little churches or big churches around the country, let's just start in our own backyard here. If every individual that was no longer, like in California, permitted to gather together, you cannot sing in a church, you cannot gather. Governor Newsom yesterday created that same law, lockdown big time again, moving around. So the only right thing to do is all those years of going to church and being downloaded with the message is now going as the church everywhere you go. You know, you're still allowed out of your house, and everywhere you go, you encounter somebody. So this is the time to be the church, correct?
That is correct. We have the message. Give it. We've been so long, we've been behind the four walls. And now the four walls are, for many places, they're closed. I've had pastors from all over the country pray for us. We're shut down. We can't get into our church. We've had some who said, we're about to be arrested for going to church. So what do we do? Listen, you don't have to be in the building. We have the message of hope now within us because we, as the believer, we are the church, and people need to hear the truth. And if it can't be behind the wall, it's just like you said there, Pastor, dear brother, face to face, tell somebody, because when you go out, you can see fear on people. You can see worry on people. You can see concern on people. And right now, I firmly believe that God has opened a door for the church to get out behind these walls and go to the masses and let them know there is a hope for this generation. There's a hope for this world. There's a hope for this pandemic.
Yeah, amen. And his name is Yeshua. He is Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we carry this message. We're not ignorant of the times that we're living in. We are very much aware that the world has changed. As you said just a few moments ago, in 3 or 4 months, we are living in a different world. And the prophetic word of God was, we're not going back. And what people need to know is that America, what it once was, will never be again until that Jezebel spirit is completely cast out, which would require a Jehu ministry. That would be an anointed ministry of God that would, you know, deal with that spirit. But we don't see that happening. We don't see that coming. So it lends to some understanding for the true seekers of God. Where are we right now in the economy of heaven? And a lot of us are looking into the book of Revelation saying, you know what, this final prophecy is beginning. We seem to be in the, you know, we're in something right now that's bringing things to a conclusion. Do you see things that way, Kevin? What's your take on that?
My take is this, exactly what Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 24. He said the time will come, we're going to see perplexities, we're going to see fears. He talked about wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence. And Jesus said, Yeshua said, be not troubled. All these things must come to pass. I believe that we are seeing the things that we've been reading about, the things we've heard from a child up, they are coming to pass. And what it is, it's everything is lining up to the word of God. Everything is lining up to the prophetic end time scenario that God, Almighty God in heaven, has established. They said, would Jehovah allow this? He's already put it in his word. There's something that's going to take place, and I firmly believe it. We're seeing these things come to pass. I was reminded there in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables or doctrines of devils. We've been seeing that for a long time. We're seeing where there is a draw. There's a spirit of the age that's drawing people to accept culture, accept everything that be not of God. For example, right now in our land, we are being pushed. We're headed towards a cashless society. In other governments around the world, world leaders and world nations, they are already going cashless. And so now here in America, they are deciding on, even this very day, they're deciding on removing this, removing that. We have no other way but going cashless. And somebody said, well, going cashless, how is that leading us there? Because the Bible declares, the word of God declares, there will come a day when no man will be able to buy, sell, trade, do anything unless they have a mark of the beast system on their right hand or in their forehead. And people are being subjugated to a practice to get used to, scanning the forehead or other measures. There's being a push for more technology to where, and we've been hearing this across the land. We've been hearing this in other nations of the world where they say we could implant the technology because maybe everybody's using the cell phone and a tablet, but if we could implant something, we can track people, we can help people, we can do things. So we are seeing things how in our life, they are really lining up to the word of God at end time prophecy. It's coming to pass.
Well, it certainly is. And then the big question, Kevin, I have is, but most of the people in the body of Christ today say, well, I don't need to worry about that because I'm going to disappear in a pre-tribulational rapture. And the only time that mark of the beast goes forward is in a pre-tribulational rapture. Do you feel the same way?
I can say this. Everybody has ideals. Everybody has their own understandings. But when we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to really, you know, because the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Yahshua said, it's the Holy Spirit, the comforter. He will teach us, train us, lead us, and guide us. And the more that we seek the word of God, the more we ask God to give us understanding, he will give us understanding. Now, here's where I'm going with this. We have heard so many for so long time, don't have to worry about nothing. Don't have to worry about nothing. Don't have to worry about nothing. I've heard that since I was a child. I've heard that from many leaders, many wonderful people, nice people. They know the word of God. They go to church. They've been to church all their life. And they said, we're not going to see nothing. Really? I've heard that. Tell that to generation that went to World War II. Tell that to a generation that went through Vietnam. Tell that to the when Pearl Harbor happened. Tell that to them. Even let's bring it up to date. 1992. Here we went to another thing, Desert Storm. Ever since 9/11, 2001, 9/11, we've been in war ever since then. Our world is changing. When 2001 come, that was another prophetic click in God's time frame. It changed the entire world. People never thought we would be attacked. Now here we have COVID-19 has shut down the world. The gods of America have been shaken, and people's wondering, what's going on? We never thought we'd see this. The Bible specific, it don't talk about good. It says there's some bad things that's going to take place. And we are not exempt from those bad things because the Bible says, God's word says, it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. We all have good times and we all can face bad times. And Yahshua, Jesus, never said that we would escape certain things. Some things that we would escape, but there's some things we would not escape. And I've been hearing people say, pastors been telling me, I never thought we'd see this. I never thought we'd be at this point. Pastor Honeycutt, what's going on? The whole point of it is we need to be alive. We need to be well. We need to be in the word of God. We need to have our relationship tight with the Holy One. Amen. Because Amen. I do believe we're going to see things we never thought we'd see before. I do believe we're going to see evils that we never thought we would see before, because the Bible is specific. It does not say exempt here, exempt there. It says, Yahshua said, Jesus said, these things are coming. Be not troubled. They must come to pass. So as far as escaping everything, I do not believe the word of God defines it or declares it that way. Jesus, Yahshua, didn't put it out that way. He said, these things are going to come and they're going to get hard. They're going to get hard. They're going to get hard. But as they do get hard, we got to think on the things of the Lord. Think on the things of the word of God. Have our mind attentive to the Holy Spirit so the church can hear what the Spirit say to the church.
Amen. And well said. Well said. I love the way that was put forth. And so the times that we're in right now, if we were to just, you know, say, hey, this is the truth. We believe that there needs to be a supernatural equipping to every saint of God, whether they're young boys, young girls, young men, young women, older people. There needs to be a supernatural equipping to walk through these days because we're not at comfort or at ease in Zion any longer. And so this download of equipping to be able to stand and having done all to stand, what we're experiencing right now, Pastor Kevin, and what I'm seeing is that there is a darkness that has descended. And within the midst of that darkness are demonic spirits, probably more powerful than I think the American church has ever encountered, quite frankly. There seems to be something very witchcrafty, something very demonic, something of a release of evil, wicked spirits that seem to be searching out, looking for opportunity in the heart of people. They're looking for secret sin. They're looking for areas in the life where they can exploit. And I believe that you could be the weakest saint in the world, but have a pure heart, and you're going to be able to stand. You could appear to be the strongest person in the world, but if there's something going on in here that's being unaddressed, if there's no sanctification and purification, the enemy could find that area. Speak into that.
It very much so. People have been, we've all been touched by technology. We've been touched by culture, and there is a spirit of the age that is moving. You talked about witchcraft. A lot of people have a lot of, let me put it this way. Let's just be honest. A lot of leaders behind the pulpits have had their eyes closed to the facts of what reality has taken place. For the last 3 years here in America, witchcraft, the practice of witchcraft, has been expanding more and more and more. As a matter of fact, there's other programs, other news agencies that said there are practicing witches even in the church. We've got it from YouTube and fake books and Twitters and all this stuff. We have those witches. They say, I'm a witch and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer in Yahshua.
Wow.
In the church. And yet we have leaders who say, we're not going to address this. Let's stay warm and let's stay fuzzy. And there is a spirit of the age that is honestly getting the world ready. I've not heard nobody talk about this in a long time. The spirit of age is getting this world ready to receive the Antichrist. And how it's getting ready, through laws, through practices, and knocking out truth. There's demonic spirits. And sometimes we call them satanic whispers that's coming to people and say, well, I don't know. We have leaders now saying, I don't know if Jesus was sinless. People on news media that says Jesus was not sinless. Yahshua was not sinless. We have people saying you can't really rely on the word of God. We had people in the news media saying the word of God is just a book. And when we have those spirits, those satanic whispers, that's getting people. If you don't stay in the word of God, if you don't starve your doubt and feed your faith, you'll feed on something. I'll say this. I say this all the time. Whatever you feed the most will grow the most. Whatever you feed the most will grow the most. And many people are feeding themselves fear, worry, doubt, unbelief. They feed themselves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Whatever you feed the most will grow the most. And in this day and hour, with all this that's going on, and yes, there are demonic spirits, they're moving things where people don't believe in mighty Jehovah. They're moving things. These demonic spirits are moving, trying to break down the standards of God's word, trying to get people to have doubt in Yahshua, trying to get people to doubt their salvation or doubt eternity or doubt heaven. Mm-hmm. And when people give into these things, they will grow the most. But now's a time to starve our doubts, feed our faith, and look to the Holy One and push back these demonic forces. They are real. A lot of people's not been addressing it. A lot of leaders have not addressed it. Instead, we had leaders who addressed population, addressed building their own kingdoms, addressed, you know, the flash, the entertainment. And now we've had that for such a long time to where people... One thing I found out with this COVID-19 that's hit the world, a lot of people don't know the word of God. They're in the church. They go to church, but they don't know God's word. And therefore, there's demon spirits. The Bible declares we have an adversary who goes about to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's doing that more and more and more. And these spirits are trying to get the world set and ready for a coming of the Antichrist.
I believe you're right on. Well said. And we are in agreement, and that is biblical fact.
Yes,
I want to just, you know, a lot of people are having dreams lately. Pastor Dana had some dreams, and, you know, others have had dreams, excuse me, and these dreams are coming to pass. They are being fulfilled. So God is really revealing things to those who are open to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very unusual scenario about what we're talking about before we move on. I want to get into something else as well. But the other night, I had a dream, and it disturbed the daylights out of me. And it just so happened to come about after a radio broadcast with three other brothers. The four of us went on a radio broadcast and told the truth. And you could feel the warfare, you know, while it's going out. You could see some things going on that weren't exactly in agreement. But later on that evening, I had this amazing dream, and it disturbed me because the world had basically gone mad. And I was on a city street, and I was only observing. I was not part of the dream. I was observing. And people were kind of like you would have at CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle, or some place where it's just a wreck. And people had sinks out in the middle of the street, and it was just, you know, ugly and bad. And I noticed a bench where a man and his wife had been sitting counseling people and trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And in the dream, this very – I never saw the person – but this very large being sat down at that table. And the next thing I know in the dream is the man of God that was to be sharing the gospel along with his wife was sitting off to the side, wiped out. I mean, he was an empty shell. The man that approached him now had his wife sitting next to him, and it was just like a massive takeover. So what I noted in the dream is that the Christian had been wiped out, and the demonic was so powerful. And I'm not sure, you know, it bothered me personally, and I had to spend several hours shaking that one off, and prayed a lot with my wife Patricia, and we just kind of, what is this? A woman came on a YouTube video yesterday and started explaining the entire dream about the witchcraft and the demonic that is actually being perpetrated upon the people at this time. And I just thought, that's really, really strange what God is revealing our world, our country is going to look like. And if we're not prepared to really genuinely walk through this, you know, I saw something that was very disheartening. Your thoughts?
You said that. You said the man was utterly destroyed.
He was wiped out.
We will be utterly weakened if we do not feed our faith, if we don't keep that connection alive, if we don't stay in the Word of God, if we're not in our prayer closets praying. I just said a verse of scripture a little while ago, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We heard this before this COVID-19. There's power in prayer. They'd sing songs, power in prayer, power in prayer, power in prayer. COVID-19 come. I've not heard hardly nobody with a voice, nobody on mainstream media. I've not heard the church leaders. I've not heard none of them. And I'm not trying to down nobody. Mm-hmm. I've not heard nobody say, wake up, let's pray. Years ago, when there was world wars, there was prayer the cities to the hills and to the country. Years ago, when there was world war, mamaws, papaws, moms, dads, boys, girls, people prayed. They prayed in school. They prayed in church. They prayed in the city. They prayed in the country. And now there has been a push and a movement. No prayer. No prayer. Just like we said, there's power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Yahshua.
Amen.
The Bible says, God's word says, even at the name of Yahshua, at the name of Jesus, demon spirits tremble. But there's a conditioning that's been taking place, so that people don't believe that, or people are distracted. We've had so many people, from what you see and what you hear, they're being distracted. And you mentioned this man was wiped out. When you pour out, and you pour out, and you pour out to people, you pour out into church, you pour out into ministry, you have to revive and refresh yourself. You have to, and you can have, if you went with just one meal, and you keep going and keep going, the body eventually is going to wear down. You got to replenish. Same way goes with the believer. We have to replenish. You've got to stir your faith, feed your faith. You've got to get the word of God refreshed and replenished in your mind, and you've got to stay sure. See, the church, whoo, glory, hallelujah. The church, we don't run. We don't back down.
Mm-mm.
And yet, there's been something that's being pushed to stop the church, to knock down the church, to weaken the church. We have a lot of leaders right now that's weakened. You said the man in the dream was knocked down. He's poured out everything. He's empty. When he was empty, here come this demonic spirits, this spiritual witchcraft. I mentioned it a while ago. On our Capitol, at the Capitol, there was Satanists. There was witches. They cast spells on our president, on the Congress, on the Senate, and in America. They was casting spells against the church. They was casting spells against the work of Yahshua. And not too many people said anything about that. And now here we are. We have to social distance. We can't go nowhere. And now they're trying again. Again, there's a voice to shut down the states. Can't go outside your home. Can't do this. Can't do that. To weaken and wear down. At the same time, you have this other agenda moving. These other spirits are moving. These other demonic spirits. I've seen that. And the man and then his wife, the wife, there she is. You know, was she strong as the man of God? Or was she there as the helpmate for the man of God? And then here comes this strong force. And some people, they might be strong when we're together, but when we're apart, we're not strong. A house divided against itself can't stand. And so I'm wondering, is that's a powerful dream, powerful, I believe also a forecast of what is to come.
Yeah.
Sadly, because even now, church can't agree. We have people don't agree. Some say this was a judgment. Some say it's not a judgment. Some say we're going through tribulation. Some say we're not. We can't even agree on things. So there's a massive spirit of division that is for sure taking place. And I do believe when our voices were silent and you had the Satanists and witchcraft, witches and warlocks, when they're casting their spells and doing their things on our Capitol steps and trying even to get around the White House and nobody saying anything to fight back, makes you wonder.
It certainly does make you wonder, and it is big battle. And I think one of the reasons is that the church somehow thinks that this is just a political battle between ideologies of communism, socialism, capitalism, democracy, republic. They're putting all that in there, but they haven't awoken to the reality that this is a spiritual battle that the enemy is operating through these other mechanisms of communism. In fact, I just wanted to throw this out of Ezekiel chapter 31, and it talks about the, you know, Pharaoh. Maybe it's not 31. I'm going to find it for just a moment, but it talks about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon. Okay, so it talks about a nation, Egypt in those days, being the dragon. It was a great dragon. And he says in his heart some things. And in the book of Revelation, we talk about a great red dragon, which I think is very interesting because we know the dragon, allowing the Bible to speak for itself, is an empire. Egypt was the empire. Pharaoh was the man of sin. So when we get to a great red dragon, we say, well, what is that? Well, the great red dragon of today is China. That's their symbol. And you might say, well, maybe we're talking about a communist regime in the last days that is global in its influence. And so this is all spiritual warfare. And what you're saying is that God's people, the righteous, are to be as bold as lions. But yes, there needs to be a decision made, and that decision is, I know the prophet Isaiah said, behold, the light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you. So in one day, Pastor Kevin, is glorious light, gross darkness, and you have to choose what side of the day you're on, because there will be no middle ground.
That's right. The man of God had said there in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I think one of the biggest things I've been saying this for the last little bit in talking to leaders, church leaders, people that believe in the Lord, I've been telling them this one thing. They're watching the news. They're watching what's going on. Some are becoming fearful. Some are worried. Some are mad. Some are getting political, and yes, there is some things that are going that our country is going to go through and experience. But I would say this as a man of God to everyone who's listening, check your spirit. Check your spirit. Don't to the word of God. Stay connected to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Well, I was in a conversation. You know, we're having racial division. And I was on a panel of 11. I was the only white man that was there. And they were starting to discuss, what do we do about this division? What do we do about inequality? And the conversation started out right. And one person, a spirit come on one person. Next thing I knew, They're saying, we don't need no white man in our pulpits to preach. I know every one of them. Mm. We family of God. Mm. We are family. Hallelujah. The family of God is large. It's everywhere. It's global. And yet the family of God is being persecuted, attacked, and many things are coming. And here was these 11. I was the only white man there. They said, we can't have no more white preacher in. And I told them, check your spirit. Check your spirit. I was on a panel with those who was talking about political. And they gave more power to the political instead of power in the word of God. Check your spirit. And if anything, in this hour right now, every one of us need to be cautious. Check your spirit. Line up to God's word. Hear from heaven. Hallelujah. And be ready, because the stand up, you talked about making a stand, choosing. It's not choosing a political side. You've got to choose between righteousness and holiness. Heaven or hell. You've got to choose to serve the Lord or be swallowed up with everything that's there. And I don't know about everybody else, but God has been good to me. Jehovah had been good to me. Yahshua had been good to me better than anybody else in this world. Our world is crumbling and failing. And we got to stop, check our spirit, and choose this day whom we're going to serve.
Amen. And he has been a good, good daddy. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's possible that these times God is in control of everything. We know that. We know that he has the final narrative. He has the final word in everything. He has told us not to fear. He's told us not to take an offense. These are the twin sisters of destruction, we call them, fear and offense in the last days that will take out many people, for the love of many would wax cold. But to stay in the love of God, is this season, perhaps, Pastor Kevin, a season of sifting of the church and separating who is truly among the righteous elect and who is not?
Yes, it is. Believe it or not, yes, it is. It's now a sifting process. There's now, because we are seeing, I said a while ago, when this COVID-19 has stopped the entire world, we see who believes the word of God. We see who's listening to the Holy Spirit. We clearly see, because of things that's going on, who is trusting the author and finisher of our faith. We can clearly see it. So, yes, there is a sifting process that's going on. Believer, unbeliever, sheep, and the goats. There is a sifting. And right now, for example, a big box store. Big box stores tells you, we got to do this, we got to do that, you got to do this. And the people comply. In the future, not too much longer from now, in the future, those big box stores, they're going to be controlled and they're going to be utilized, that you can't come in unless, you can't do this unless. Even right now, we have across this great country we live in, here in America, who are saying, we no longer take change. We no longer take cash. And if you want what we have, you have to submit to us. There is a demonic pressure pushing on people to submit. When you get away from God and his word, you get away from Yahshua, you get away from the Holy Spirit, you'll submit to almost anything. And I can see it now with trouble that's going, with the hardships and with the fears of uncertainty. You could see it on the faces of people when you're out in the community. Fear has gripped them. Concern is, I can see people, they will easily run to take a mark of the beast system. We have problems with insurance. What are we going to do? Hospitals, what are we going to do? Food, what are we going to do? Everybody wants a stimulus check, but people don't realize our country don't have that kind of money. We're in trouble, and the only answer, the only hope we have is Jesus, Yahshua. And we can clearly see this is happening. There is a sifting process going on.
So, Pastor Kevin, the one point that I've been trying to make for a long, long time about this moment that we're in right now was a biblical reality in Isaiah 47:11, that an evil is coming from where you do not know, a mischief rises, you will not be able to put it off, and sudden destruction will come, and the wise men of Babylon will go dark. They're not going to have any understanding on how to navigate. I believe God foretold that word, and we're in it right now. And the sudden destruction is at the door. But what my point was in that, mm-hmm. what I felt God was saying, America is and has been under judgment. And what I couldn't understand is why so many men of God and women of God would refuse to say America for the 90 million abortions, the innocent blood that you're shedding, the homosexual agenda, all that you're doing. Why are you refusing God his right to judge with the purpose of turning the nation back to him? Because, you know, that's all judgment is. And judgment is always about separating the individual or the nation from their sin back to God, the ultimate intent, so God's grace and mercy and favor can be bestowed once again. But if a nation hardens its heart, or an individual hardens their heart against the judgment of God, or refuses to acknowledge that it is judgment, and all we do is look at it like, oh, the Antifa's the bad guy, BLM are the bad guys, and we keep looking at the political, who, you know, horizontally, and we don't get it. Listen, we're under judgment, America and church. You're responsible for it. What do we do with that?
First of all, we need to realize it. And one reason why you said you wondered why don't the leaders see this?
Yeah.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. People have got accustomed to fame, the accolades. Lucifer, he fell because he wanted the fame and the accolades. He wanted to be God, but he wants the praise of the men. And there's going to come a time when Satan, through the Antichrist, he's going to receive the accolades of men. And today, for so many years now, we've had people, they love the shower of praises. They don't want to admit it, but they
true.
Do. They've not preached a warning of sin, because the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. You don't hear nobody talk about it. I was shocked. I preached somewhere, and I preached the message of the cross. I preached about a risen Savior. And this church leader told me, we've not heard a message like that in over 10 years.
Wow.
What are they preaching? Wow. What are they telling the people? So there has been a feeding of the flesh. Remember, whatever you feed the most will grow the most. And we've had, we still have prayer meeting here in our church. We have prayer meeting. We come and we pray. We pray over many things. And I have people tell me all the time, you all still have prayer meeting? Yeah. Because not everybody does no more, because we have looked to other things. People are distracted. People are distracted. Anytime you get away from keeping your eyes steadfast on the Lord, you're going to get distracted. And that distraction, you mentioned it, that we have had laws that was passed. I never thought in my lifetime I seen where Supreme Court there in New York City, they allowed a human to marry an animal. I never thought I would see that, but that did take place. We never thought we would see where people could marry, for example, down in Florida and in North Carolina, they allowed them to marry the ocean. Are you kidding me? So we have a lot of these things that's been taking place. Voices have been silent because they don't want to lose the kingdom they've built. And that's the honest answer.
Yeah.
They have built their own kingdoms. And this is not our kingdom. It's all about the Lord. This is not, somebody said, well, all this, does it belong to you? Nope. Who's it belong to? It's Yahshua. It's Jesus. It's every bit his. We're building the kingdom of God. We're not building the kingdom of Honeycutt or this one or that one or the other. And that's what's been happening for a long time. That's why the voices have been silent, because they don't want the negativity. They get the negativity, money's going to walk out of the church. Uh-huh. Get the negativity. Talk about sin. Talk about, we need to stand up for what's right. People start leaving because not everybody's grounded in the word. And that's what we're finding out. People have not been solid in the word. They have no clue about end time prophecy or end time of the prophetic of end time. They have no clue. They have no understanding because they've been simply in a lot of places that have been promoting fluff and stuff.
Fluff and stuff. Sad. Such a sad thing. Man, that's heartbreaking to hear that you can marry the ocean or an animal. And it's the Christian church sits back and we listen to these things. And I think people are confused as to, well, what am I supposed to do about that? I mean, if our government wants to allow that, if the Supreme Court wants us to legalize and do all these things, then who are we to do anything about it? And Pastor Honeycutt, what I'd like to ask you, Brother Kevin, is what is the church's responsibility when we hear things like that? I mean, prayer, but is it a lack of prayer that's allowing these things? Or is it just an all out, you're praying, but you're not doing anything? Where does it fit with you?
The Word of God explains it in a certain way. It's an effectual, fervent prayer. We pray. We pray against these things. Not everybody's doing that. Mostly everybody pray, Lord, give me a car. Lord, give me a new husband, a new wife. Lord, give me some money. And we've got to get back to effectual, fervent prayer where we pray against this satanic hold. We pray against this satanic move. We pray against this COVID-19 to get out. We pray, but we also do something. We do something. In the Word of God, they would pray, but they would do something. In Old Testament, they would pray and they would do something. In the New Testament, they would pray and they would do something. That means there's an action that's required. And it's time now for the church not just to pray, a pray effectual, fervent prayers that's going to ring heaven and shake hell. Pray effective, fervent prayers that's going to push back darkness, push back and kick out the demonic spirits that's there. Remember, they said, the Word of God declares, demon spirits tremble at the name of Yahshua, in the name of Jesus. We've got to get back to believe what the Word says. That's the issue. Do we believe the prayer we're praying? Do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe that we have power over the enemy, power over the devil? We've got to get back to believe what Yahshua said, believe what Jesus said, so we can have effectual, fervent prayer. And then go and do. Jesus commissioned the disciples that become the apostles, go and do. And right now it's time for the church to stand up, stand with faith, stand firm with anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, stand in God's word, go and do. And we may come to a time you're going to have to make a decision. Do this or be arrested. Do this or be shut down. And I'm telling you, we've got to stand with God, stand with God, stand on the word, stand with the Lord. And how are we going to do that? You got to build your relationship. It's time to get tight with the Lord. It's time to get back to our first love. We can look there in the book of Revelation, and there were certain certain of those in the church there in Revelation chapter 2. You have the church of Pergamos, and you have the church of Thyatira. You have the church of Sardis in chapter 3. You have the church of Philadelphia. And then you had the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was lukewarm. They wasn't hot for God. They wasn't cold against God. They was lukewarm. And each one of those churches represented something. Some of the church, they had the Lord and they had his name. They received a blessing. But a lot of those, like for example, in Revelation 2, 18 and through 29, Thyatira was Jezebel's church. Jezebel, are you really? Yes. So we got to get back to believe what God said. He said that for the church of Philadelphia, he would open a door for them because they had not denied his name. He would open the door for them. In the church of Laodicea, they was not cold and they was not hot. They had riches, but they didn't have Jesus. We got to get back to our first love. Get back to Yahshua. Get back to Jesus. Get back to the word and stand firm in faith. Stand firm in God's word. And get to where I'm trusting God and nothing else. That's what we need. And we're going to have to do something. We're being pushed, whether believe it or not, people believe it or not, we are being pushed to make a decision, make a choice. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, there is a decision coming.
Amen. Amen. And I think that action word there is repent, which is an active turning back to God, is what I hear coming out of your voice, is just a turning back to God. That requires something.
And that's not popular. You don't hear much of repentance today.
No, you don't.
Everybody's going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. Animals go into heaven. I mean, we've had a fluffy gospel. We've had a fluffy word make me feel good, make me tingle good, give me good tinglies, good vibrations, somebody told me. I don't need good vibrations. I need the Holy One, hallelujah. I don't need a warm fuzzy. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Yahshua, hallelujah. I don't need to be tingly. I need to be right with God because I don't want to leave this walk of life and spend somewhere else in eternity. There's heaven and there's hell, and you're going to one of them places. We just got to make up our mind. And yes, repentance is the call for the hour right now. For every man, woman, boy, girl, repentance is the call. For every leader, it's time to repent and get right with God.
You know, Pastor Kevin, I am just under an influence right now in my heart, and I love the anointing in your life because I see the balance, the ability to worship and praise God like God's people should. Call to repentance. You don't have to bury your head in sand. You don't have to pretend anything. There it is. I mean, we're right out in the open. And I just have this very strong impression in me right now that God is raising up men like you, like Pastor David up in Sioux Falls, men of God that I'm just recently meeting, and I'm hearing their conversation, and I'm hearing their encouragement and exhortation, win souls, go out, preach the gospel, but they're very much aware of what time it is, and they're not looking for an escape from their responsibility, calling, or assignment, but wanting to really encourage and build up the body of Christ. And I just wonder, from Father's heart, you know, what he's doing right now. He's taking the Davids out of the caves of Adullam, taking the Josephs out of prison. He's raising up something in this day that has been tried and tested in the lion's den, in the fiery furnace. I mean, there's something that he has been bringing his sons and daughters through to make them ready to be prepared to every good work, to begin to really minister something from heaven, a seven thunder message that's been concealed, that's never been heard before, from men of God who have paid the price and women of God who have paid the price, who have emptied themselves out literally and have remained faithful and have yet found the balance of living in the abundant life that Jesus Christ has provided for every one of us, a quality of life, not of stuff, but of inward reality. So there's something God is doing right now. Can you speak into that?
Well, let me say this. Yes.
Amen.
What is God doing right now? That's amazing what you're saying. Here's what God is doing. He's calling the nobodies to come out. And let me explain this. The nobodies. I'm not talking this in a degrading manner. Nobodies. They don't have a big name in lights. They're not known. They've not been around the world. They don't have a big name in ministry. God is calling the nobodies. Never heard of before. They've been, like you said, they've been faithful. They've been in the word. They've been in prayer and fasting. They've been seeking God. They've been obedient to the call of the Lord and the mandate that God has placed upon their life. They've been silent. They've been in the shadows. They've been in the backdrop. And now with this attack, and now with this judgment, and now with this shaking and the stillness that has stopped the entire world, there's not many ministry that's doing nothing. Even today, the big names are silent. Even today, the big names, they don't have the influence like they did have. And here's what's happened. God's calling. He's calling out the Davids and the Jeremiahs. God is calling them. Come on out. He's anointed you. He's anointed you with Holy Ghost and fire. He's giving you a word on the inside. God's calling the true, genuine prophets. Prophet. Time to come out of the cave. It's time for the prophet. It's time for the anointed vessels of God. And he's calling. Ooh, I'm excited. He's calling them out.
Yeah.
He's calling
Amen.
Them out because,
Amen.
For example, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the believer. There's a lot of believers. They are blessed. God uses them, but they've never been given that opportunity. They're not used. And so the leader, the pastor, the shepherd can't do it all. God never intended for the pastor or shepherd to Amen. Do it all. That's why we have the thumb, the fingers. We're all jointly fit together. I need, you need, we need one another. Some people have a gift of faith. Some people have a gift of miracles. Some people have a gift of interpretation, on and on and on. And we need to utilize those gifts. And a lot of that has been pushed to the curb, pushed to the side, so a name would rise. The names have been risen for a long time, and now everything has stopped, everything has fallen, and God is bringing out the no names who are called and anointed and are ready. That's what's happening, man of God. Woo, glory, hallelujah.
That is absolutely amazing. I'm looking for something right now. Absolutely amazing. I did have a scripture, by the way. It was Ezekiel 29:3. Just want to clarify this real quick. Yeah. Ezekiel 29:3 says, I'll start in verse 2. Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Prophesy against him, against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his rivers. So again, I just wanted to show to our listeners out there, the great dragon was a global empire at that time. In the last days, it will be a great red dragon, a global empire under the power of the Antichrist, under the dragon himself, Satan. And I just wanted to get that out there. But talking about this gathering together, you know, I love this. And I have to I'll kind of just do this while you're speaking again. I'm thinking of the ingathering. I'm thinking about how right now Father God is raising up these ministries. And I want to boast. I need to do this just to, as you said, take our eyes off of the individual. Okay. We just had our friends, and I don't think Don would mind one bit if I said this. This is our friend from Tyler, Texas. We had friends come up from Tyler this weekend. They wanted to see what we were doing out here in Northwest Arkansas. So they came up in a van together, and they moved among us, and they came to our services Saturday night, and they had to leave Sunday. So they came Saturday night, and after the service, Don came up to me. And he said to me, you know, you have a weird, funky church here. Everybody, you know, is loving each other and saying hello and being kind. And there's something meaty and weighty here. And he was messing with me a little bit. The next day at breakfast, he clarified. He said, listen, man, what I said last night about your funky church, he says, I've been teaching people a long time down here, and they're not changing. We stepped into an environment at New Wine Ministries and met the people. And the people that we met did something to Don's heart, not the man here, but the people. And that's what I hear you really saying. It's a gathering together, and yet it's the body of Christ that's going to make the difference.
Yes. For a while, when we started, we've been having Bible study in our home, and the numbers was growing, the number amount of people that was coming. And we had people say, I never heard this before. I never knew this before. I never felt this before. Talking about when you go into a church, there's love. You feel the love there. Woo! And we even had some people say, well, we come on the church property. What is that? I'm tingly all over. I said, it's the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost on this place. Hallelujah. And it's not everywhere. Nope. And the Lord, he's so mighty. He's so wonderful. He's so compassionate. He's so powerful. He is dealing with people and bringing together the group of body believers. I found in many, I'll use the word denominations is maybe the best way I can say it. I have found precious people in many of those denominations. I found precious people who love the Lord and they love to praise and worship the Lord. They may not do it like we do. They may not do that even in their church. And then when they come around, they get around us, they say, I never knew about this love or this joy or this level of faith. And so we're coming together, and God Almighty is bringing his people together as one. Now, I heard somebody a little while ago say, we have differences and we got disagreements. Yeah, but we have the word of God. We have Yeshua. We have Jesus. And he, even though we have signs of the times around us, even though there is chaos is building, and when chaos bubbles over, the Antichrist will come on the scene. Even though we see this leading to there, the Lord is doing something wonderful and powerful in the land even now. I know we've got Satanists and witches and warlocks. They're doing their thing. I know that there's Democrats against the Republicans. I know there's racial division. In the midst of all this, Almighty God in heaven, woo, glory, hallelujah, he's doing something. He's bringing people together. He's loving people. Love is pushing forward. Hallelujah. And perfect love cast out all fear.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. God is bringing people together.
Yep.
It may not be in massive crowds like we used to see back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. I remember the big tent revivals, 5,000 and 10,000 people coming together as one. Now we're starting to see it. And maybe one man of God said it right before he left this walk of life, Morris Cirillo, here just a couple of days ago. He's now gone on to his reward. But he said that we're starting to see people gathering in small groups, and at least they're coming to God in small groups, whether it be 100, 1,000, 5, or 10. They're coming in those groups together, finding the Lord, blessing the Lord, receiving of the Lord. And the Lord is doing that wonderful and powerful thing today.
Amen. Pastor Kevin, you know, that confirms, again, our ministry assignment right now. Patricia and I, we're ready to hit the road. We believe that we've been mandated and assigned to begin and start home fellowships throughout this country. We've had a little vision about it. We'll talk about it another time. But right now, that's our work. But when you talk about this in-gathering, I just want to read something briefly. We've got another 30-some-odd minutes together, so we're okay. This was written, it was a prophecy called The Windup. I just kind of found it today before we came on the air, and I haven't read it in a long time, but it has this big boldness, in gathering. So I want to read this. It is the fullness of times. You say God is doing something. It is the fullness of times, and the windup of all things has come. Yes, the climax of the ages and generations has come. I am gathering together my elect, those who are of like mind, and bringing them to my banqueting table. War has been determined, and so it is that what you have thirsted for shall surely come. You who have thirsted for blood shall surely wallow in your own. You who would not keep peace in the household of faith shall be exposed to the powers of hell and shall become food for the birds of the air. You who would not allow my spirit to continue among you, but exalted yourselves, shall be brought down to the lowest parts of hell. For I have called for a day of ingathering. Yes, this is the third day, and I have reserved it until now. In this day, I have revealed the mystery of the third feast. In this feast, the brethren, the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, are to dwell in unity. I have shown you in my word that this unity is like the oil that drips from the beard and runs down to the skirts of my body. But you would not have it so. You have pointed the finger and have hid behind your so-called responsibility. You have shot forth arrows intended on wounding those who belong to me. Your arrows shall return unto you and shall pierce through your own soul. Surely I will bring you to a place of repentance, and you shall know that those you have fought against belong to me. I called for peace within my body, but you have called for war in my name. You are liars and thieves, and you have acted out of your soul rather than my spirit. You have allowed your leaders and government to be your guides rather than my spirit. You have become like those whose hands are full of blood of the innocent, your older prophets whose hearts are jealous against my new army of prophetic warriors. Let it be known that you will simply fall by the wayside and have no relevance in the times ahead. You are dim in your eyes because you would not chasten those whom you respect was given, while they were the very ones you should have corrected. Yes, your own sons and daughters shall testify against you. In your blindness, you have become like Saul and have chased my Davids through the wilderness and caused them to hide in caves. Yet I am raising up my Davids in this hour, and they shall be as God and shall destroy the whole of your family line once and for all, the Saul bloodline. Oh, how you have caused me to unsheathe my weapons of war. Do not turn to your weapons, for they are but empty toys you have learned to play with. Your long arrows and spears, your trumpets and your axes are all but useless play toys on your walls. I am sending the weapons of indignation and wrath against you because you would not have peace among yourselves. I warned you that the systems of the world were going to fall and that the systems of the world were but Babylonian empires whose time has come and an end. Yet you would not listen. You stand at the gate and tell the people peace and safety. Yet the truth is that only peace and safety is in me, the living Christ. And I have called you into a fellowship of love and peace among yourselves, but you would not have it. You have chosen the way of war. You chide amongst yourselves as though you do not understand my speech. You speak for faults in my words in order to justify your present position. This did the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites while I was in the earth. This same assault the modern-day hypocrites are launching against my beloved in the earth. So-called brothers, like the brothers of Joseph, are gathering together, but their gathering is not of me. They gather together to destroy the one whom among them was righteous, the one in whom my spirit dwelt, the one in whom I placed my vision is the one you seek to destroy. You accusers are become like your father, the devil, for he is the accuser of the brethren. You accuse those who do not agree with your doctrine, but whose love is supreme. You accuse them who love me with all their heart because you disagree with them. You excommunicate them. You war against them. You gossip against them. Your penalty is just. And finally, I am not speaking about isolated situations, but to the many situations that exist among those who call me Lord. Your fellowship is a hype. There is no truth in your heart. You are deceived and have become as those who speak peace with their lips, but whose hearts are far from me. For my beloved ones have desired peace with their brethren, but found war. So here is what I will do. I will destroy those who have fought against my sons with famine, hunger, and nakedness. Shame shall cover those who have hated me. I will raise up and take to the heights those who love me. I will cause them to ride upon the high places of the earth. Then you will come and bow your face to the ground when you know that they are mine. You have fought your own judgment against yourselves and seeking to do harm to my sons and daughters. In truth, you are illegitimate. Your only God is your belly, whose hunger for power has taken hold of you. You say you are trying to help? No, you are trying to control. I will surely mock you in the days to come when your towers fall. Yes, you have set yourself up in a high place, but you will fall with a great fall because of your pride, arrogance, jealousy, and Pharisaical ways. You are but moments from being brought low. I warn you now to repent. Lay your evil ways aside and admit your faults one to another and seek the way of forgiveness, love, and peace among yourselves. You have asked for war and did not know that you would fight against me. I warn you again, put your pointed fingers away, because truly there are three pointed at you. I have seen you in your secret places. I have witnessed your faults. As you have judged, so shall it be measured out to you. The day of vengeance and retribution has come, and I warn you to humble yourselves and seek true unity with those you have wronged before the curse comes upon you. I will execute swiftly my judgments upon those who go on in their pride and refuse to seek out those they have wronged. I will send strong delusions upon you for not obeying my gospel. My gospel is for the peace of those who believe. Terrible destruction is coming upon the whole earth. Your time of accountability has come. I warn you again that if you do not humble yourselves and repent, your destruction will come soon. You will mourn over the loss of your children. You will mourn over the loss of your friends. You will mourn over the loss of your place in me. I warn you, repent. So, you know, I'm just reading that. That was written in 2003, a warning. And here we are today, and everything is shifting. Everything is turning. I don't know if that fits into the idea of where we've been, Pastor Kevin, but what are you hearing?
God speaks to his people. He speaks to his servants. He speaks to his prophets. And to me, that right there sounded that. That's like a word from a prophet. The prophets would come and they would deliver, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it wasn't nice. Sometimes it wasn't friendly. Sometimes it wasn't churchy. But it was the word from heaven. And how I see that fitting today, yes. Repent, yes. If you live here in America and you can honestly say, I don't know what's going on. Either you don't watch the news, you don't read the news, you don't see what's going on with your neighbors, you don't see what's going on in your community, then something is wrong with that. At the same time, we have all this ungodliness that's been pushed, propagated, and the scriptures are clear that when they turn their back on God or they turn away from the Holy One, and whether they would turn to sin, a judgment is going to come upon that nation. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. A lot of people don't think about this. They said, "Brother, Pastor, what do you think?" I'll tell you this much. When this COVID-19 happened, God was speaking to me in January. You know, a lot of people come in January with a word from the Lord for the year. And a lot of people said 2020, the year of vision. And they was happy and they was, oh, glory, we're going to have money. We're going to have money, money, money. God never showed me that. And some others, he never showed them that. I didn't know how quite to say it. I seen blue lights, I seen blue gloves, and I seen the bottom of a face mask. I didn't know what it was. In February, the Lord had dealt with me to tell the people that we had, go buy you some extra food and some water and get ready. Something's going to happen. Some people listened, some people didn't. You know, when it happened, we couldn't find food at the big box stores, a lot of stores. No food, no water, and no toilet paper. People going crazy over the toilet paper. Since then, it has not got better. It's something after something after something. It keeps on coming. And at the same time, we have those that's in high places that are saying, especially like in Congress and in the Senate, that's saying, we don't need God. We don't need Yahshua. We don't need Jesus. We don't need the Bible. As a matter of fact, there was a Speaker of the House that took a Bible and ripped it in two. There is judgment that's coming to a nation that has known God and pushes away God. Look at Israel. For all those years, Israel, up and down, like a roller coaster. We love you, Lord. We're against, we love Baal. We love you, Lord. We love Baal. It was something all the time, and judgment would come to them. How do we think that judgment won't come here? It will come, and judgment is coming. That word that was in 2003, it matches right up with today.
Forgive me for my interruption. I can't get away from this. You said that in February, God showed you in a vision or something in your spirit, blue lights, blue gloves, and mask, blue mask. Was he showing? Would you say that describes the COVID-19 crisis?
Yes, it was.
Go a little deeper in that.
Coming in January, you know, we pray and fast from the day after what people celebrate as Christmas. Sometimes I go before then. I'm in prayer and fasting 2 weeks before the end of the year, and we come together, a body of believers. We come together, and they ask the leaders, they ask pastors, ministers, what has God given you? Has God given you a word for the year? Many people said 2020, year of vision. They was happy and talking about gold rims and big houses and money, money, money. But when it come to me, everything I seen in a vision and in a dream, when you have a vision and a dream that's the same thing, you better pay attention. More than likely, it's either super spiritual or it is super spiritual and it is going to come to pass. That happened with me in 9/11. In 9/11, for one solid year, I had a dream and vision the entire year. I preached it. I warned it the whole entire year. I had pastors push me to the side, tell me, say, you can't do that. I heard the screams. I heard the glass breaking. I heard the rumble. I seen a great big gray smoke and gray people coming out of the smoke. For a whole year, God showed me this. I'd be over here where I live. I would travel from Knoxville to Nashville. That's over 200 miles. I'd be praying and get caught up in the spirit in this dream and vision while I'm driving, and I'd be gone, and I'd wake up in Nashville, come to myself, grab the wheel. Oh my goodness. Grab the wheel in Nashville, over 200 miles away. God dealt with me. And what I seen that very morning on 9/11, somebody called me and said, oh my Lord and my God, pastor, turn your television on. And the towers had fell, and I seen people running out of the cloud. They was gray. God showed that to me. He shows people. And then coming in this year, he showed me blue lights, no sirens, blue lights, no sirens. Showed me blue gloves. I seen blue gloves all over everywhere across America. And I seen the bottom of face mask, and I didn't really know what that was. And I seen them moving. And what they was moving, they was pushing people. They was pushing people. Yes, it has everything to do with COVID-19. When we come into February, the Lord placed in my spirit, woke me up at 3:00 in the morning, said, tell the people here, go buy extra, go buy extra, go buy extra. So I told our people, we had over 27 come to a Bible study that time. That's a small number. I also have a radio program or TV program. We have over, I think, 300,000 people that could watch it. And that's in the viewing audience. And I told it. I told it there in the month of February, there's trouble coming. You better go buy you some extra water, extra food. get you some, you know, if you normally buy one, buy two or three. We had some that listened. We had some that didn't listen. And they called me, they're crying. Where are we can't find no water. We can't find, we've been to Costco's. We've been to Sam's. We've been to Walmart. We've been to Food City. Can't find no water. Can't find no green beans and corn, canned goods. We can't find toilet paper. What are we going to do? They had to travel over 100 miles, 127 miles for one family, just to find water and toilet paper and green beans.
Wow.
God will deal with his servants and his prophets to reveal things, even things that's coming. And there are things still yet to come, still yet to come. So while this happened, I prayed, I said, Lord, what's going to happen? He said, there'll be a short space. A short space of time. This corona, this COVID-19, it will stop. There'll be a short space. Oh, so what's this for? It's a time for either revival or an awakening. I don't know what to call it, but Almighty God in heaven, he's given an opportunity for people to come unto him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye. You're hurting, you're laborious, you're confused, you're worried, you're downtrodden, you're bleeding, you're broken. We've had all kinds of people that's come to us from church hurt. They're hurt. They said, is this the end? Is this the end? Is this what Nostradamus talked about? Is this the end of the world? What's going on, preacher? So we've been talking with them and letting them know this is an opportunity. God is trying to deal with men and women. Come back to Jesus. Come back to God. Come to Yahshua. Repent of your sins. Get right. There's a space, a short time. I don't know how long it's going to be. A short time for this revival or awakening or being unified, coming to God. A short time. And then this thing is going to either going to come back, or it's going to be something different, worse, or it's going to be something from beneath or something from above. You don't hear too many people talk about that.
No.
But we have things that's coming. Judgment, yes. Judgment is coming.
Amen. And it's here in so many ways. And so the deeper, weightier judgments, and I believe we're in a prophetic cycle right now, a cycle of judgments. You go back to Leviticus 26, and it talks about, if you will not for all this be reproved, then I will send. And when we had the understanding from one of the gentlemen out of Ezekiel 14 in our fellowship, Brother Michael, who has a prophetic gifting, and he went on the air when we were talking about Ezekiel 14, the four sword judgments of God, he brought it up as four waves because he was a surfer in California. And we began to see God was revealing what the waves were, the coronavirus, then civil disobedience, anarchy. The third wave will be the sword of war. And we believe that this war is coming. There's a wave of war. And we're seeing now with what's going on in the South China Sea with, the saber rattling with China and Mike Pompeo, the United States and China. There's some unrest going on there, and it seems to be everywhere. Civil war, perhaps right here. People are talking revolution here because we know the ideologies are clashing. And then we believe that fourth wave, Pastor Kevin, the fourth wave will be a lights out. Some kind of an electrical grid outlet. So I'm where the lights go out for a period of time, and our Congress has told us in Homeland Security that 30 days of no lights in America, you're talking 30 million people dead. And I do believe that this whole thing that we are in right now is useful to the purposes of the enemy to be able to control the nations of the earth through population control. And I know that a lot of people kind of raise an eyebrow about that, but the Bible predicted a lot of people in the last days would die. And we just happen to be in it right now. And so I would say continue, right? Get your food, get your water, get your batteries, get your medical supplies. Don't stop now because we're just halfway into this particular moment.
With that, yes, yes. And you don't do that in the action of fear.
No.
You do that in the action of being prepared because yes. Our Lord and Savior did not say we was void from many things. That when you read Matthew 24 and you read Ezekiel and you read Isaiah and you read the Gospels and you read in Revelation, there's so many things that's going to take place. For example, everything you just mentioned, plus we have 14 things way above us that's headed this way. In space, outer space, they're coming. Can you imagine right now if one of those things hit our planet, what it would do? We seen here a couple years back, I think it might have been in Chile, the first time ever we made over 7 point something, the scale for earthquake. I think it was in Chile. And they said scientists looked at NASA, they looked at satellite, and they said the Earth had tilted on its axis just a little bit. Ever since that time, we've had, I think, 21 earthquakes over 7 point something on the scale. Now, if one of them made it tilt just a little bit, can you imagine what the rest of them would do to where they're, if it's not careful, it could go into a wobble? Now, that's way out there. Somebody said, that's just crazy. I had preachers and pastors tell me, that's not true. It didn't happen. But it is true. We have,
yes, it is.
We have the polar caps, the magnetic poles, magnetic north, magnetic south. They are switching. They are changing. Ask airport. Go on to an airport. And you'll find nearly every airport is having to change the runways because the magnetic north and south is moving. Things are changing. So, yes, you need to prepare, not out of fear, but just like this right here. What if you didn't go? Did you have a problem getting water? Did you have a problem getting toilet paper? Did you have a problem when you go to the big box stores? Have you had a problem getting outside your house? Didn't think it was going to happen, but it happened. But if you was not moving in faith, you know, the Bible said there's a little book of Jude. You remember that little book of Jude?
Yeah.
And over about verse number 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love and mercy of Almighty God, looking to Jesus Christ. And so while we do this, we're doing it looking to the Lord. We're trusting God. We're trusting Yahshua. We're trusting Jesus. But we're also preparing because we may see, and you just said something about 30 days lights out. There is technologies here in America and around the world. Russia has built a supersonic missile that we don't have anything that can stop it. And now we're trying to build one. You don't hear much about that.
No.
We have EMPs. Those EMPs could be even suitcase. Don't hear much about that. We have over 19. They said it was 37. Now they say there's 19 what they call nuclear case bombs from Russia that's missing. Things can happen. We have Russian nuclear submarines that's over 100 miles off the coast all the way around America. Don't hear nothing about that in the news media. While this is going on in America, we have enemies abroad that are watching. And they are waiting. And with a devil that's loose trying to get chaos over the entire planet. Because after all, when chaos overruns the entire planet, that's when an Antichrist is going to come out with every answer to everything. So there's trouble coming. We don't know everything we will see. I hope we're not here for a tsunami or a lights out ordeal or for an asteroid coming from the sky from outer space, but we don't know. That's the fact. We don't know. That's why we need, today is the day of salvation. Today, we need to prepare our hearts, our lives, our family. Yes, better go get you some food. Yes, get yourself prepared. Not in fear, using wisdom. Hear from the Holy Spirit. Get in the Word of God. Like I said, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God will reveal. And so, yes, I'm telling people, prepare some things.
Amen.
Somebody said, that's not faith. Yes, it is.
Yes, it
Somebody
is.
Said, that's not trusting God. Yes, it is. We was over in Africa back in 2005, for example, and the Lord had dealt with us to stay somewhere for a while and then to leave. Well, some people said, we need to stay here. We need to stay here. But the man of God said, I believe we need to leave. And I said, I feel that in my spirit too. We left. And all of a sudden, once we left, here come in 300 Islamic soldiers
I was just
looking
that.
For some Christians.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how to get his people's attention, and God will still yet speak to his people. So, yes, we need to prepare some things. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our soul, prepare your home, prepare your families. There's things to come.
Amen. You know, it's so interesting you brought up the Islamic because that's their theology, you know, that Ahmad Ahmadinejad said it was his job to create chaos and confusion because that's the climate that Antichrist or what they would say the Mahdi would be arriving. And so that Islamic, you know, the lion in the thicket observing the prey, and the outside enemies of America are salivating over what's going on in this nation right now. So, yeah, Noah built an ark, not out of fear of what was coming, but out of fear of God and respect for God. And that was so important. He trusted the Lord's word. He feared and reverenced the Lord. And so he built his ark, and God's telling us to do the same thing. All right, so we're down to just a few minutes. Pastor Kevin, people want to know how to contact you, where they could find you. Just give us a little information, and we'll make sure that people out there can hear. And if anybody has an urgent question or comment they'd like to make to Pastor Kevin, the line is open, 818-369-0326. If you have something just burning in your heart you wanted to ask Pastor or anything else, call the number, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and then we'll bring you directly into the program. But right now, Pastor Kevin, how do people get in touch with you if they want to just kind of encourage you and they want to get some of, you know, your insights to the times that we're in right now?
We could do several ways. One way is look me up on Facebook. Kevin
Facebook.
I call it Facebook because one minute people praise the Lord, the next minute they're all tore down in trouble, and it's fake. It's just fake. Look me up on Facebook, Kevin Honeycutt. You can look me on YouTube, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, or Kevin H54, or they could call area code 423-562-2633 and get in touch with us that way. And we also have our email if they want to do that. I can give that out if you like that as well.
Okay.
That is all small letters, KevinH54@comcast.net. KevinH54@comcast.net. Would love to hear from you. Love to help people out.
All right. Pastor Kevin, what an amazing time with you, sir. I appreciate it so very much, and I look forward to doing this again real soon. And I want to just ask the Lord to bless you, your family, your ministry out in Tennessee. And God bless you. And let's see how the Lord networks this whole thing together. It's been an honor. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Very good. Very good. Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I just thank God for men and women who have that unction, that anointing that could bring encouragement to the people that are out there. This was not by accident. Our time together here wasn't just, you know, let's throw something together. It was truly God ordained. And that man is a prepared vessel to encourage you. He was sent by God on purpose to bless you. And he certainly was a blessing to me as well. Tomorrow, Patricia, Joy, and I, early in the morning, will be heading up to South Dakota. And we are going to prepare ourselves for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday ministry. We're going to be with Pastor Dave and Victoria Obenauer, and we're looking so forward to that and to meet their friends and their family and to see what God's eternal purpose in this moment is in the lives of the people we'll be meeting. So we're going to ask you to keep us in prayer. We may actually be on YouTube tomorrow doing this. I'm going to go check out a computer that somebody referred to me. I want to see if it's viable or not. If you're out there today and you're saying, you know, I want to get behind this, I want to support the ministry, I want to partner with Pastor Vince and Patricia, you know how to do that. Just go to our website at nwmglobal.org, nwmglobal.org. And if you would like to support the ministry, you want to partner with the ministry, that's how you would do it. NWM, which stands for New Wine Ministry, nwmglobal.org. That's our website. Go to the donate tab and you can find a way to support the ministry. Just earmark it for this trip. So that's what we are going to be doing. I want you to know also, we've talked a little bit about an RV and we test drove an RV yesterday. And so we're praying about that. We're looking into that. God bless you and thank you for your prayers. And, you know, God will do what God will do. And this is just an amazing moment for the kingdom. Again, our vision to do what we're doing right now, we are pastors, but we're also going to be going to wherever or whoever desires to gather together in their region and to bring forth home fellowships, to raise up ministers in that region or to send pastors to those areas. We've already begun in Tyler and Bullard, Texas, and what an amazing beginning. South Dakota, tomorrow we'll be on our way, and we'll be looking forward to seeing them. If we have this new computer and it's able to perform properly, we'll be seeing you tomorrow, and I'll have Daniel Seckham with me. But if not, for some reason that does not work out, then we'll see you next Tuesday, a week from today. I hope you don't forget about the ministry. I hope you continue to let people know. Omega Radio is broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In fact, in about 10 seconds, there will be an Omega Radio roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. That's happening right now. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's been an honor to be with you today and to host Kevin Honeycutt. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless you. And we're going to say goodbye to our friends on Facebook and YouTube. Until we meet again, shalom, everybody.